At this time, the people of Israel are suffering from their enemies, the Assyrians. And God's speaking into that situation. The Assyrians are a bit of a corrupt nation, and actually some of the Israelites have picked up some of their ways as well. But in here is a great promise from God as to what he's going to do for those who listen to him and trust him. So let's hear these words from Isaiah now, from verse 13. You who are far away, hear what I have done. You who are near, acknowledge my power. The sinners in Zion are terrified, trembling grips the godless. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? He who walks righteously and speaks what is right, who rejects gain from extortion and keeps his hand from accepting bribes, who stops his ears against plots of murder and shuts his eyes against contemplating evil. This is the man who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. His bread will be supplied, and water will not fail him. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty, and view a land that stretches afar. In your thoughts you will ponder the former terror. Where is that chief officer? Where is the one who took the revenue? Where is the officer in charge of the towers? You will see those arrogant people no more, those people of an obscure speech with their strange, incomprehensible tongue. Look upon Zion, the city of our festivals. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a peaceful abode, a tent that will not be moved. Its stakes will never be pulled up, nor any of its ropes broken. There the Lord will be our mighty one. It will be like a place of broad rivers and streams. No galley with oars will ride them. No mighty ship will sail them. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is he who will save us. Amen.
Thanks, Mark. Good morning, everybody. Are you well? Okay, we'll leave it like that then. One of you looked at one of these recently, not necessarily this particular paper, but had a look inside it, had a read through it. Does it depress you? It certainly depresses me, a lot of the things that you find in this. And one of the stories that came out this week, and I don't know if you saw it either in a newspaper or on the news, is about another store, another well-known store has gone to receivership, and it's HMV. And I have very, very fond memories of HMV when I was growing up. It's where I bought my first ever album, and I bought it on cassette. And some of the young people are going, cassette, how old are you? And I had, I had this little double tape deck, little stereo, and I looked at it, and it was okay. But then I started work, and I suddenly thought, I now have money, and I have money at my disposal. And I went into town one day, and there before me was this thing of beauty, a Hitachi 3D superwoofer. It was bigger than any stereo I had ever seen in my life. And it had bass. It had lots of bass. And none of my friends had any bass. And so my first wage packet, I wrote a check. That shows how old I am as well, doesn't it? I wrote a check to the man in the shop for a ridiculous amount of money. And I took this thing of beauty back to my friend's house. I didn't even go home at this point because I started suddenly having doubts that I'd done the right thing. And we set it up on his dining room table and we cranked that thing up. And we all went, whoa. Feel the music. Then I went home. And my parents were stood just inside the kitchen like this. I went, what are you doing? You get paid today? Yeah. I've got something in the car. Oh, have you? Is it your rent? Because now you're earning, you now pay rent. Oops. Whose voice had I been listening to when I went to buy that 3D superwoofer? HMV. Does anybody know what HMV actually stands for? His Master's Voice. The day I walked into that shop, I don't think I was listening to my master's voice. I was listening to that voice in my head going, buy it! You need it! You'll be better than everybody else you know! I wonder whose voice it is that you listen to when there are things that you feel you need, or maybe things that you want. Or maybe when times are hard, whose voice do you listen to the most? What is it that shouts at you the loudest? Whose voice do you listen to? The phone rings and you think, oh, somebody's phoning me. And you go and pick it up and suddenly there's an automated voice on the other end of the phone. Or your bank suddenly decides they want to give you a call. They want to talk through your finances. Or maybe your phone or TV or other service provider suddenly wants to just check how things are going and offer you a better deal. But sometimes when you actually look at what they're offering you, it might not actually be the best deal. I had one ring up recently. Hello, sir. It's British Telecom. Oh, hello. How are you doing today? I'm fine. How are you? We're going to try and save you some money today. I'm thinking, well, why didn't you save me 6 months ago? Let's see how much we can save you. Taps on his keyboard. Oh, we can save you 10p a month. Would you like that, sir? Yeah, that sounds quite nice. But and also, we'll increase the speed of your broadband 4 times. Well, that's fantastic. You're saving me 10p a month and I get something I don't actually need for it. However, sir, there's a £16 charge just for coming and setting this thing up. Right. We can live with that. And also, there's a one-off fee of £25 just for the engineer to come out and sort it all out for you. Hang on a minute. You're telling me you're saving me 10p a month. And in the same sentence, you're saying you're now going to cost me over £30. So what I'm actually going to save is going to cost me X amount in the short term, and to actually save it is going to take me about 3,000 months. So are you saying you don't want it, sir? I said, well, you do the maths. Oh, well, have a nice day. Phone goes down. And you may get phone calls like that where somebody is enticing you, that you're saying to you, this is what you need, or this is what you want. Or you check your emails and you're bombarded with, if you buy today, you will save. Then you see a leaflet coming through the letterbox. And it's a leaflet about buying a mosquito net for somebody in the third world, £5, and you could save somebody's life. Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? Are you even listening? You turn on the TV, adverts bombard you. Buy now, pay later. The holiday of your dreams is affordable. That new car you've always dreamed about that will actually make your life easier is now easier to get hold of at so much a week. Whose voice are you listening to? You know, often when we look at the prophets, we think of them as being messengers of doom and gloom. A little bit like like Private Fraser from Dad's Army, where their message is, "We're doomed, we're all doomed, I tell you." Sorry, my accent was horrendous. If you're Scottish, I apologise. But so often we think of the prophets being as being God's doom and gloom bringers, that all they were actually setting out to do was spoil everybody's fun, was actually to come and tell people, "You're having too much of a good time, you're doomed, get over it." But each of them ultimately is calling from God's heart of love and compassion and want his desire to be in relationship with his people and for them to recognize him as their God. And as we saw last week, having no other gods before him and loving him first and foremost. And they came with a very clear message throughout the centuries that I'm going to try and sum up in one sentence for you, so that as you go away from here, you can understand what all the prophets were trying to say to the people throughout the Old Testament. And it's this: there's a price to pay for going your way. There's a price to pay for going your way. There may be times when we think going our way is actually we are cleverer than God. That we actually know, we think we know what we're doing. And the reality is, God has a far greater idea of who we are and what we are capable of and what we need than we know ourselves. And so the prophets of old would come into the different times of history and time and again, whether it's in Isaiah, whether it's in Jeremiah or in Amos or any of the other prophets, the prophets are coming to say, "People, listen. There's going to be a price to pay if you go your way. God wants you back, but you've got to hear what he's saying." In Amos 3, verses 10 and 11, it says this: "They do not know how to do right, declares the Lord, who hoard, plunder, and loot in their fortresses. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says: an enemy will overrun the land. He will pull down your strongholds and plunder your fortresses." There's a very clear, strong message throughout the Old Testament prophets that if you think you know better than God, that if you think you can have your own security, that if you think you can live your life without him, then there's going to be a consequence. And it's going to be painful, and it's going to be hard. If we don't listen to what God's saying, there are consequences. If we try and build up and trust in our own security, there will be consequences. There may be much pain. There may be great loss. And God doesn't want that to happen. But again, it's echoed in the New Testament when you look at Galatians 6. "Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Simply put, we reap what we sow, whether as individuals or as a nation. Time and again through history, we have seen people reaping what they've sown. A lot of the problems I think we're facing now is because as a nation, we're reaping what we've sown in the past. And unfortunately, we're the ones who are having to pay the cost for it. But God wants each and every one of us to know that he is not here to bring doom and gloom, but he is here to bring a choice. We can choose to go our way, or we can choose to go God's way. And throughout the prophets, we see a choice being offered. Sometimes hard and straight to the point of, this is life or this is death for you people. You've got that choice. There were times when the people were refusing to leave Jerusalem. And the prophets come and they say, if you don't leave, if you don't go into exile, you're dead. You cannot defeat this army that's coming towards you without God. And God is not here. He has left the temple. And the people were stubborn and the people didn't listen and they thought they could put up a good fight. Some went into exile. But this army came through like a plague of locusts and wiped them out. But even in exile, God was wanting to restore his people. So even though there may be times of devastation, maybe times of invasion, even of exile, God's aim is always to see people being restored back to him. And so there's a promise. There's always a promise from God of restoration and good government if people turn back to him, if they put their hearts back. And as we read in the passage that Mark read for us, in Isaiah 33, when the people are crying out, who of us can live or dwell with everlasting burning, with this judgment that's coming? And the Isaiah says, he who walks righteously and speaks what is right, who rejects gain from extortion, who keeps his hand from accepting bribes, who stops his ears against plots of murder and shouts and shuts his eyes against contemplating evil. This is the man who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. His bread will be supplied and water will not fail him. And so I believe that for each and every one of us, whatever we're facing, there's an opportunity in every situation, good or bad, for us to do something so simple and yet so powerful. Because throughout history, right up to this moment, we're constantly seeing God wanting people, whatever their situation, to come back to him. And simply, again, God calls for his people to stop, turn around and listen. To hear his voice. And I believe that God wants us in our nation today to do exactly that. To actually stop, turn around maybe for some of us, and actually listen to what he has to say. I wonder, do you agree with that? Do you believe that that's what we actually need to do as a nation? That rather than thinking we can sort it out for ourselves, that even in our own circumstances that we are in control, when actually maybe we may know deep in our hearts we are losing control of our finance, of our situation, that maybe we've never been in control in the first place, that maybe we're facing the threat of losing our job, maybe even having the threat of losing our home, and we don't know where to turn. Stop, turn around, and listen. God is for you, and he wants to speak to you. Do you believe that? We've been singing this morning about how God is able, how God is powerful. And it's one thing to sing it, it's another thing to walk out of those doors and live it. When we're facing those voices in our nation. Is there a situation you're facing where you need to hear the Master's voice? HMV. If so, what's the one thing you're going to do this week? What's the one thing you're going to try and start to do to turn it around? And for you, it might be a simple prayer of asking to God, God, I want to hear your voice. in this situation I'm facing now, I want to hear your voice clearly through other people, through your word, but I want to hear what I'm supposed to do because I don't know. Or it may mean that this week you give first and you get second. When I went out and bought that 3D superwoofer, I thought about one thing only. Me. I didn't think about my responsibilities. That actually, me eating my mum and dad out of house and home every week doesn't come for free. I used to think it did. But it doesn't. And so I now was earning and I had responsibilities to face up to. But at that time, the voice that was in my head was just my little voice going, get this and you'll be amazing. You'll be so popular. When actually I turned with very quickly into the most unpopular person in my household. So maybe you need to give first and get second. And then maybe God will bless you. Or it might mean that you want to just pray, Lord, help me to speak out for you. That actually God might be wanting you to be like a prophet, to be prophetic in a situation. It might be in your home. It might be in your workplace, or in your school or your college. But you might actually be able to start speaking God's truth and God's love into other people's lives that are hurting. But are you ready? Are you willing and able to hear the Master's voice? HMV. Because remember, if you go your way, there's a price to pay. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you're a God who longs to be in relationship with us, whose heart's desire is to see your people walking with you. And Lord, today I want to say, forgive me and forgive my brothers and sisters here when we haven't listened to you, when we haven't heard your voice. Lord, as we see through the prophets, they were your messengers, not just of doom and gloom, but of wanting to see your people come back to you. And so, Lord, as we go from here this week, I pray that each and every one of us will seek you first, will long to hear your voice, whatever the situation we are facing, whether it's our finance, whether it's our home or our workplace. Lord, that we would be carriers of your fire into our homes, into our workplaces, our schools. That maybe we might be the prophets speaking out for you this week into the lives of people around us that are hurting. And Lord, may we just constantly be seeking to go the way that you show us so that we might be a blessing to a hurting world. I ask all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.